credit limits. Okay. Want to introduce yourself for the tape?
Yes, my name is Dave Johnson. I'm an instructor at the St. Cloud Technical College.
Welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair, for giving me the opportunity to talk with the committee members on this issue. I want to start with some background information on the technical college system. From its infancy back in the 50s and the 60s, as they were being built and spread throughout the state, the main purpose of the technical college and the technical education was to help workforce in the certain communities and regions or areas that they were put into and built. And the way to do that, or the way to ensure that these technical programs met the needs of the area industry, advisory committees were formed for each of the programs, each of the technical programs, to make sure that the content in those programs met the needs of the industries for that area. Throughout the years, the advisory committees have helped each of the programs change their curriculum as technologies have changed, as industries have changed, and as the areas have grown and the makeup of what industry and businesses that are there have changed. Right now, as we speak, all technical programs are required to have an advisory committee, and each of these advisory committees are made up of industry leaders for the specific discipline and the specific program. These advisory committees meet twice a year at least to take a look at the curriculum that the programs have, to let the instructors know of any new technologies that are out there on the horizon that they should be looking at and trying to adapt into their programs. The bill that Senator Clark has authored, which changes legislation that was passed last year by Representative Rukavina, only exempts the AAS degree. The language in the original legislation says that all associate degrees need to be down at a 60-credit minimum. And right now, Minscu's policy states that the AAS degree has a range from 60 to 72 credits. And that was put together, I believe, from research throughout the state and what content is needed in the AAS degree. There is a certain requirement in the AAS degree that you have to have, I believe now, at least 15 credits of general education. So we are, we need to adhere to that and also make sure that we have the technical education that is also needed for our graduates to be placed in jobs in our area. The programs that have the same name or similar names throughout the state may not have the same content. And the reason for that is because of the advisory committees and the uniqueness of those industries in those communities. And to make sure that each of these are addressing those needs, the advisory committee makes sure that the curriculum meets those needs. Some areas have a more diverse industry that they need to address, and others are more specific of one kind. So the content needs to be different in some of these cases. Because with the technical colleges and the technical programs, including those that are in the community college, if you take a look at the statistics of where the students come from that take these courses, you'll find that well into the 90% are from that region or area that the technical college or community college that has the AAS degree, they are from that area. And when the students graduate and they get jobs, again, I believe it's fairly much into the 90% that is where the students actually get jobs. So we are training students in these areas for careers in these areas, and there will be some discrepancy. And I believe that was one of the concerns that the students had as to why is a program in this at this college have greater credits than one in another college. And it is because of the uniqueness in those areas, in those towns, that we are trying to address and make sure. Now, we already have a system in place with the advisory committees, as I had mentioned before, that gives us the checks and balances that the content is what needs to be in it for these students. What the Minscu office has put together is basically the same kind of thing. Again, we have to go out to industry again, as we do every year, to make sure that the curriculum is correct. So we're duplicating a process here. We're going through some, I believe, and many of us in the technical programs believe it's another hoop to jump through. It's another repeating of the same process that has been going on already. And we would like to see the AAS, and only the AAS, exempt from this language, because the AAS does have a specific result, which is to have our graduates employable at the end of the 2 years that they take the program.
So, Mr. Johnson, you did request the waiver from Minscu, or you did not?
We're not at the point now. Minscu does not have an official policy out there as to how we will go about getting the waiver yet. They have just
put together a
draft. Yes, they are in the process of, they have a draft policy that I have seen. Again, it goes to the same kind of language where we need to go out to our area industries to justify the content of our programs, which we do already with advisory committees, and we have to put together this document to give to Minscu, and it goes through several stages in Minscu. It just seems like it's redundant to do it again for the AAS degree.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Johnson? All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
We certainly appreciate you coming down here, and we'll take your concerns into serious consideration.
Thank you.
Was there anyone else from St. Cloud, from out of town, who wanted to comment on Senator Clark's bill? Okay, then Senator Clark's bill is going to be laid over till next Thursday. Next Tuesday, we're having a joint meeting with the House on technology. So it'll be next Thursday, which will be our right before the policy deadline. And I don't know about this amendment. Does anyone know about this? Does she want this? She has to come and offer it. Yeah, okay. Okay, Senator Wieger. On the P20 partnership. How many years is that? Doctorate degree? P16 is 4 years. Because the master's would be 18.
Just hearing this testimony.
It's more than that for a doctorate degree. Senator Wieger, can you tell us first what P20 takes us to? Because P18 would be a master's, so what's P20?
Well, Madam Chair, committee members, 20 was to reflect postgraduate training.
Like possibly was, to a doctorate
and,
or
right,
something.
Right, and was suggested by Education Commission of States as the new
standard.
P16.
Okay.
So, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
Committee member, Senate File 2370 establishes the P20 Education Partnership. Currently, as many of you know, there is a P16 Council that was started approximately 5 years ago, and members of that group, which includes business, labor, and interests involved in K-12 and higher ed, they have met, and the group has evolved into a very productive membership that analyzes various aspects of education that are documented in a report. And in the handouts that I have there, you can see some of that information from the current P16 group. The bill here would codify the the partnership. And most significantly, it would add legislators in the process. Why should we add legislators? I was recently appointed to replace Senator Pappas as the state's member to the Education Commission of States. And at the first meeting that I went to, they talked about what are the most effective P16 or P20 groups that look at the issues, particularly how they can, you know, bridge the understanding between early childhood K-12 and K-12 and higher ed. And they said effective councils include legislators, and in some cases even include governors. And from the Education Commission of States, I have a briefing paper that provides an update on the various partnerships across America. There's about 38 different variations throughout. And so to the extent you want more background, but the thrust of this is to add legislators, and I also add early childhood. I think it's important that early childhood be represented, especially if we refer to the P and preschool in the process. A couple of other groups are reflected as well, but I want to make it very clear that I respect the work that has been done of the current P16 council, but would suggest that the legislators be involved. It reflects an evolution, I think, where the time is now to have that involvement. It reflects best practices as suggested by the Education Commission of States, and would hope that it would provide expansion on the type of involvement by having us involved, not just on a report in finding out or reading the website, which I believe there's going to be some new information available, but being at the table. Many of the issues that are addressed by P16 or P20 councils are bills, proposals, ideas that we talk about in here. And whether it's on the need for remediation, adequacy of teacher preparation and the ramifications for K-12, longitudinal data studies, which is one of the aspects that's been done right now by that group. We're considering legislation right now, as you recall at our last meeting, on that subject. So the intent is to continue that discussion, have legislators involved, and that overall is the intent of the proposal.
Senator Wigger, I think the P16 Council now it seems like it's picking up some speed in terms of its activities. And I know that we felt kind of out of the loop because we didn't have any legislators on the council, and we didn't have a process for them to come in and report to us. And you know, sometimes I remember thinking, oh, we should ask Cindy Crist to come in and talk to us about what the council's doing. But there wasn't really kind of a formal process. And so I you know, applaud you for trying to kind of institutionalize this group so that, you know, if the current partners change, the current leadership changes, it's still going to happen. But I don't want to slow down the work of the council at all. So if anything in here, I don't want like things to stop until this August 1st date when all the appointments are made. As far as I'm concerned, they should continue doing their work, and these appointments will just come as they're appointed to the next meeting. So that's a concern I have, and I hope to hear from some of the council members about that. The other one is, it's my understanding that this has been a cooperative process, but it's been typically chaired by just three people. And you have the partnership selecting a chairperson by the majority vote. And so I kind of need to know how that's going to work. Is that okay to do that? Or right now it's been rotating between the chancellor, president of the university, and the commissioner of education. And I don't know if you've gotten any feedback from them on that, Senator Wigger. And then it says on 228, upon request of the partnership, the commissioner of education must provide meeting space and administrative services. And I'm just wondering if, you know, that burden also has been shared where whoever is chairing, it's my understanding whoever has been chairing the council has provided the meeting space and the administrative services. Administrative services, I'm not even sure about meeting space, but administrative services. So if that's the University of Minnesota right now, then Ken Pentel has been providing the staffing. I assume that when it was the chancellor, then Ms. Chris provided the staffing, and I don't know who did it when Commissioner Segrin was the chair. So, you know, we might want to look at that, continuing to provide the kind of the bottom-up energy that's been there in the council, you know, adding some legislators. And okay, so here's another concern. Is it getting too big now? And you and I talked about that in my office. Is, you know, is it's my understanding that people got added to the partnership by kind of majority vote of the existing members if they felt like Mentoring Partnership of Minnesota. I'm not even sure what they do, but for some reason you felt that they would be important to be involved. I don't know if you also added the Library Association and the Media Organization. We had questions about that, whether those two groups, why they had such an interest in P16 or P20, and the only reason I could kind of justify them is when you're trying to improve it from some of the goals that you developed, which are common P16 goals, and we should have some comments on that. When you improve educator capability to enhance student achievement, it does seem to me that the librarians and the school libraries, that's what they do, is they help students learn technology, learn to use the internet so that they can improve their own ability to learn. So in that kind of narrow situation, important but narrow situation, I could see having them on the committee. Otherwise, I'm not quite sure exactly why they're on there. So, Senator Wieger, I probably should have let you respond to each of my concerns one at a time, because now we've probably forgotten all of them. But
Perhaps some of them, Madam Chair, but a couple of highlights first on the rotating chair amongst the three principal groups involved. I think that has worked very effectively, and I think that's how it would continue to work. If there was comfort language to assure that, we could, but it sharing the you know, the leadership, you know, the way they've rotated, I think has worked very well. And I, you know, if the group thought as we further deliberate this that they needed that comfort language, that would be fine. The main intent is to have legislative involvement and also to reflect that early childhood as a part of the preschool, K-12, and higher responsibilities as we look at mutual interests. For the groups that were added, you mentioned, you know, a couple of them, they were added in policy committee. I, too, would be concerned that it be too large a group, and someone would have to make a very strong case. I like the way it works now, where you know they earn a place at the table, I guess is what some members have said. But you know, I'm not here to advocate for any additional members at this point.
Oh, Senator Wieger, I did notice another change after I'm not sure when this happened, but in the second engrossment, it looks like you don't specify that it's the chairs of the education committees. You actually have just two senators from the majority party and one senator from the minority party.
Madam Chair, yes. And I believe that Council Bodern, when we went to Senator Rest Committee yesterday, that was suggested language, and I'm not sure if you want to have the chairs of the policy committees there. I think that is a likely
appointment. I would think that if the chairs wanted the appointment, they would probably get it. But if for some reason they wanted to give someone else on their committee the chance to provide this representation, someone who had a very strong interest in the P20 group, that's
it was
an
to
option.
Provide flexibility.
You know, you and I talked about how I said I don't know if I have the time to serve in this committee. So this would provide some flexibility that maybe Senator Sharon or someone else on my committee who might have a strong interest in this area could serve on it. And it might be better than me doing it. Okay. Did you have anything else you wanted to say? Should we take some testimony?
No.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Senator, can I ask a question from the dinner
table? Yeah, you can.
Thank you. One question on page one of the bill, line 117. The appointment of members of the House of Representatives doesn't specify two from the majority of the House of Representatives and one from the minority. Is that intentional, just to have the Speaker's appointments not be specified as to whether they're from the majority or the minority, or is that simply a drafting oversight?
Senator Wicker.
Madam Chair, Senator Latz, I believe that may have been a drafting oversight.
Madam Chair, Senator Wicker, would you like to have it added in? I'd be happy to offer it as an amendment. We insert after the on that line, majority of the.
Yeah, and I would make, or Senator Latz could make that amendment. And
of the majority of the House. Senator Latz moves, they actually put it in after members, two members of the majority of the House of Representatives.
So moved.
That fit? From the majority party? Okay. Mr. Fuller thinks we should do two members from the majority party, so it parallels what was done on line 114. Senator Latz?
Yeah, and then, Madam Chair, we should probably do something comparable on line 118 relating to the minority leader of the House.
One senator from the minority party. So on line 117, after two members, you insert from the majority party, and on 118, after one member, you insert from the minority party. Okay, Senator Latz's motion. All those in favor say.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Senator Tomasoni.
Maybe the reason it's written this way is because it's assumed that the Speaker is going to appoint two members from the majority party, and the minority leader of the House is going to appoint one member from the minority party.
Oh, I see, because the other appointing authority is the Subcommittee on Committees. Mm-hmm. So there's just kind of an assumption there.
But I'm comfortable with the amendment.
Okay. All right.
We can make it very clear.
All those in favor of the amendment say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Motion prevails.
Madam Chair?
Senator Latz.
On, I guess, pages one and two.
Senator Latz, I think you should come up to this microphone right here, right next to
my fries are too cold to eat anymore anyway. Thank you.
We can get you on tape.
Madam Chair, Senator Wicker, with regard to the membership of the council, I just glanced through it, but at first glance, I don't see specifically any representation from faculty groups or from student groups. Am I missing something, or are they not included? Is there a particular reason why they're not, and do you think they should be?
Senator Wicker.
Yes, Madam Chair, Senator Latz, I think you could perhaps make an argument that we could add each of those groups and more. It's an attempt to work off the base group that has been working and to add a few at this point, and as it further evolves, to look at what the group would want. There's nothing to preclude the group right now from getting additional input from other stakeholders.
Senator Latz, I think we're looking for decision-makers here, is that people who can implement policy changes. And I'm already concerned that it's too large a group to be workable. And I assume they do a lot of their work in committees, so that kind of helps things, but we don't want to get too large. Why don't we take some testimony so we have more a sense of what how people feel about this?
How many more people are there?
Okay. So you just pull up another chair.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Cindy Christ. I'm System Director for P16 Collaboration for the Minnesota State Colleges and Universities. I had not intended to testify today, and my only purpose in coming up is to address a couple of the questions that you raised about some of the operating structures we've had to date in the history of the partnership. So it's not to speak for or against the bill, but just to provide you a little context. The partnership, as Senator Wicker indicated, did come together as a voluntary partnership We started working on it in the summer of 2002. In the fall of 2002, we convened a large meeting that included legislators, and I believe that Senator Roebling and you, Senator Pappas, right, both attended that meeting. It was in October of 2002 at Metro State, so I don't expect you to remember.
I
think in checking who came, you were both there and also some staffers. So we were seeking legislative input. We became formally a partnership, adopting some operating structures and rules in 2003. It was actually April of 2003. We were going to do it in February, but Commissioner Sherry Yecke had just come on board, and the partnership felt that she deserved a little time to look over what we had done and consider it before we asked her to formally sign on. When we became a formal organization, there were initially 15 members, member organizations, and we've always specified members as the organizations, not persons from those organizations. And the membership criteria essentially were just two things. One, that the member represent a statewide constituency. So we were looking for really broad constituencies in the state. And then that they support the values and the goals in a founding document that we had created and finalized at that time. We subsequently added, I think, six members, member organizations, one or two or four at a time to broaden the membership. And I could identify for you, if you're interested, which of the members in the bill are currently members. Again, they're not identified by Commissioner Chancellor, but by entity, but they are, starting on page 1, line 111, I'll just give you the numbers of the entities that currently serve. Mm-hmm. It would be number 1, 2, 3, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and on page 2, 12, 13, 14, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. I feel like I'm back in first grade teaching counting. 25 and 26. And so if you look at those, you'll see that they are all major statewide organizations. I think we would probably all agree that the one glaring gap is early childhood. And I think Senator Wigger perhaps heard this discussion at the P16 partnership meeting on Monday. Quite frankly, the only reason we haven't invited an early childhood member yet is because there isn't a single statewide entity that kind of everybody agrees has the same sort of standing, if you will, for early childhood that Education Minnesota or the elementary school principals or the school board association have.
And but currently the Department of Education actually does represent a lot of early childhood activity.
Yes, exactly. And then the other point, and then leadership structure. We currently have, we don't really have bylaws, but our current structure says that a chair and vice chair will be elected every 2 years for a two-year term. And there's a general expectation that the chair will go back and forth between higher ed and K-12. But we haven't specified anything more specific than that. So to date, it has been Chancellor McCormick, then Commissioner Segrin, and now President Brunings. But there isn't anything formally that says it will only alternate between those three, among those three. And then the last point I wanted to make, and this is relative to the last point that was made, is that where we do broaden the involvement is through working groups. So we've had a number of structures, but currently there are four working groups being put in place, and they're actually very large groups, and so they reflect additional involvement that includes college and university faculty, high school counselors, you know, an array of folks who don't have maybe a single statewide organization representing them on the partnership. But that's where we try to bring in the balance. We tried to build the whole structure so that we can balance having decisions made, you know, kind of high-level discussions by the decision makers, the folks that can put things into place at a system level, but always have opportunities for much broader involvement into, okay, how do we make this work? How do we make sure that it addresses what needs to be addressed?
Thank you. There is another committee coming in here at 3, so I think we're going to have to lay the bill over till next week, but we want to hear from Ms. Hegard before we do that.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I just had a couple comments. I'll just follow up on what Ms. Chris said. I've only been part of the group for a couple of years, my observation is that it's one of the most creative and innovative groups that I've ever really been part of. And I think one of the worries that I have in taking something that for a group like ECS puts together and kind of trying to formalize an organization or a group like this is the concern that you lose some of the creativity and the innovation that exists right now. There's been some, I think, a lot of trust that's built up over the 5 years that the group has been together. The work is primarily done in work groups. It's really fairly organized for an organization that's not highly formal in nature. Some of the work group examples, Cindy, correct me if I'm wrong, but there was a group that looked at early readiness programs that Carlos Mariani and the folks from MMEP headed up. There was another group that looked at alignment of math and science standards, where the professors of math and the teachers of math got together, and that was where they reached outside of the membership. Those folks worked together in a very collaborative manner. The work group that I headed up is trying to establish the P16 student identification number. We had a technical work group that met for over about 2 years. And so I guess my concern is in trying to legislate something like this, we might lose, you and we might lose some of the creative energy and focus that's been established over 5 years. The other thing I wonder about is, I think adding legislators, I understand why there's interest in doing that, and I think that's important. But I think six legislators, that's a fair number of members to be adding to a group like this. And I do think that it will change, to some extent, the focus of the group. I mean, I think the input of legislators is critical, but at what point do you begin, I would say, sort of politicizing possibly the work of the council? I don't know whether in this body there's been talk about trying to have the higher ed K-12 and the, I don't know, if, I think in this body you don't have a
early childhood they do in the House anymore.
But that's something I think that would be very helpful, is to have some alignment even in the bodies on those issues. But mm-hmm. I do have some concerns about the number of legislators. I think adding legislators is something the group has talked about. We're very open to it. I think getting into prescribing every single person on the group and then prescribing exactly what the council would be doing, I just have to tell you, my feeling is that you'll lose some of the innovation and creative work that's been built up over the last 5 years. So if there's a way to strike a balance, I would encourage you to do so. I mean, I'm impressed,
Hegard,
with what I've seen.
It could go either way. You know, it could be that by actually formalizing a group in statute, you give it more legitimacy and more permanency. That the legislature is saying, you know, you've done this experimental group for 5 years. We support your work. Now, you know, we want to actually have a formal group. And so that can give it more support. You can think of it that way.
Well, I don't disagree with that, Madam Chair. And I think you could do that in statute and state that legislators are members. But maybe there's a way to back away from prescribing every single individual that's assigned to the group statute.
As Ms. Chris said, they're actually paralleled, the current members. Every one of the current members is in this bill, and I've already questioned the additional selections. You know, and we've all agreed that the early childhood is a problem. How do we have representation from the early childhood? And I think Senator Wieger's policy committee probably was just concerned about a couple other groups. You know, we could decide, we could disagree with them and say, no, we don't need to have these groups represented on your P16 committee. I tend to think maybe it's too many legislators, and that we could have less legislators. I mean, like I said, I wouldn't have to serve on this. Senator Wieger is really excited about being involved. I just want to hear from the group, you know, once a year about what you're doing, what you've accomplished, and how can we be helpful. You know, just like with the data issue, is I'm happy to support that if the P16 group feels that that's helpful. And by saying, you know, we want you to bring us legislation, it's kind of saying we want you to get stuff done. You know, we want you to collaborate and work out things, but if there's something we can do to help with legislation, we also want to do that.
Madam Chair, and I think the communication aspect is something that's evolved over time, too. There has not been a formal website. There's finally now one up. There hasn't been regular kind of feedback given to legislators about what's been happening. And so I think that's something that we're doing, the group is doing a much better job of now. But I just at least
had a
wanted
meeting
to.
Recently. Pardon? I mean, we just had a recent meeting to talk about that.
But I just wanted to at least convey my perspective, and I think it's shared by a number of other people on the group, that there's a